You are Locked On Giants, your daily podcast on the New York Giants. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants. My name is Patricia Traina, and I am a longtime New York Giants beat writer, writes for various places. And I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Ed Valentine, who is with Big Blue View. And today on today's show, we are going to circle back to some news that kind of took a little bit of a back seat in the wake of the Odell Beckham Jr. signing. So, Ed, we have a couple key pieces of information that we have to discuss with each other, and then we'll, spin ahead towards the preseason finale.
Yes, we will, Patty. You know, I can't imagine why anything would take a back seat to Odell Beckham, though. I just can't. I don't get it.
Yeah, you know, that'll happen every once in a while. But, you know, for those of you who thought we forgot about the other stories that went down this week, we've been meaning to get to it. But obviously, you know, Odell is the rage right now. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about Odell as well, you know, especially since he spoke to the media today. John Mara spoke to the media today. We will talk about that a little later on in the show. But first, we got to go back and we've got to give some love to a couple of stories that broke earlier in the week. And we will start off with the trade of center Brett Jones to the Minnesota Vikings in return for a 7th-round pick. And I don't know about you, I can't honestly say that transaction was a shock. In some degrees it was, because Jones, I thought, was probably their 6th best offensive lineman. But, you know, when a guy makes close to $3 million and he is a backup, you got to imagine that he's going to have a target on his back as far as either a pay cut or being moved.
You know, Patty, you know the V8 commercial where the guy basically sort of slaps himself on the forehead? You know, when the Jones trade happened, I sort of felt like doing that to myself, because It explained a lot of things to me, and I felt like I should have seen this coming, because as we both know, and you know the salary cap better than I do, even after the Beckham contract and all of that, the Giants are skating really, really close, you know, to the edge of the salary cap. And we've been, you know, trying to make sense of why the Giants have preferred John Jalapio to Brett Jones. You know, we've been trying to make sense of that for months. And now that the trade has been accomplished, the picture is clear. What they really wanted to do, you know, what it seems to me anyway, is they knew they needed salary cap space. They knew they had Brett Jones. They knew they had John Jalapio. And I think that what they have been trying to do is make themselves comfortable that John Jalapio can do the job as the Giants center. And when I think about it now, I think that all along their intent has probably been to try to move Brett Jones to get some very much needed salary cap relief. And I really didn't see it until it actually happened.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting, Ed. I think now that I look back on it, one of the things I know I've said to you before is, why didn't they try Brett Jones at guard, especially, you know, with the struggles on the right side of the line? And I kept wondering, what is there to it? Why, you know, Jones has played guard. You know, center is obviously his best position, but he's played guard and he's, you know, versatile enough to move into that spot. But when he didn't get any reps there, I just found that whole situation very unusual. And, you know, now it all kind of makes sense, like you said. But, you know, the cap ramifications, very interesting scenario there. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about Odell Beckham a little later on in the program. But, you know, right now the teams, NFL teams, are winding down. I think they're in their last week of the top 51, the top 51 rule, where only the top 51 salaries count against the salary cap. And it's interesting because I think what now is going to happen is that now that they have a little bit of breathing room, and I think they have, I want to say about, I'm going to say about 5 or 6 million in space between Odell's number and getting rid of Brett Jones's number. That should allow them to now pick up a veteran that comes loose on the waiver wire if they need it. You know, I'm thinking in terms of an offensive lineman, maybe a cornerback, you know, and then once they get that guy on board, then they have to worry about getting under the salary cap for the 53-man roster, you know, the practice squad, the dead money, the injured reserve list, you know, all the reserve lists save for the suspended list. So I just wonder if that's part of the grand strategy that they're looking to accomplish.
Yeah, I think so, Patty. You know, the thing that I keep coming back to is there had to be a reason, there had to be a plan, because I kept scratching my head going, Brett Jones is a better player than John Jalapio. So what is the plan here? There had to be a reason, because I still believe that Brett Jones was, you know, whatever you want to say, the better player between the two guys. But I think the Giants just looked at their cap situation. You know, I did a piece the other day at Big Blue View. You know, now that Jones has been traded, you know, is there anyone else that the Giants have on the roster who has trade value at this point? And there really aren't any other guys who have, you know, trade value that they'd actually want to be, you know, or want to part with. So I just feel like this was the plan all along, and I feel like we probably should have seen it.
Yeah, but you know what? You know, better late than never, I guess. You know, again, it's interesting. When I sat down and I put together my final 53-man roster projection, which is going to hit, I think, on Friday for The Athletic, I actually, in my first edition, you know, and I haven't updated it yet. I have to go back in, obviously, and update it. But take my word for it when I say I actually floated the idea of the Giants maybe moving Brett Jones via a trade. And sure enough, that's what they've done. And it's just been interesting because the approach that Dave Gettleman has taken with regards to trades and whatnot, I like it. And it, you know, as you see a general manager, you know, make these moves, you start to get a feel for what he might be thinking. And I think with the Brett Jones transaction, the whole thing, it was, you know, it's easy to say, you know, now that, oh, you know, I saw it coming, but it all makes sense, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Yes, it does, Patty. Yes, it does. Now that we've seen it, you know, I think now it's understandable. You know, when Jones was still on the roster, it was a little mystifying. You know, but now that we see, you know, what the Giants have done and really the reason for it, I think it's understandable.
For sure. Ed, we're going to take a short break to hear from our sponsor. We'll be right back and we'll talk about the other piece of news that we kind of put on the back burner due to the Odell Beckham Jr. signing. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with you. All right. Welcome back, Giant fans. You were with Pat and Ed, and this is Locked On Giants, and we are backtracking a little bit because, you know, there were a couple pieces of news that went down early in the week before, you know, some guy named Odell Beckham Jr. signed a mega deal. And we've got to give props, or not props, but we have to touch upon these other two pieces of news. And we've already discussed the Brett Jones trade. The other piece of news that I think is, you know, probably more significant, with all due respect to Jones, is the ankle injury suffered by defensive end edge rusher Olivier Vernon. And Ed, I'm telling you, what does this man have to do to avoid major injury? This is what, the third year in a row where he's got some kind of ailment of, you know, significant note.
I don't know, Patty, but, you know, can we put him in bubble wrap for the next couple of weeks? And which I think is pretty much what the Giants are going to do, you know, because we don't know at this point if he'll be ready for week one. But, you know, when I look at it, you just shake your head, because there's really two guys on this defense that the Giants just can't live without. And those two guys are Landon Collins and Olivier Vernon. I mean, Olivier Vernon is the only established, true, real pass rusher that they have, you know, that they can count on. And any loss of Vernon, you know, short term or whatever, any loss or anything that affects his ability to perform is a huge, huge problem for the Giants.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure if the ankle that he sprained this time around is the same one that, you know, cost him four games last year. But you're absolutely right. You know, we've talked about this before. Where is that pass rush going to come besides Vernon? And, you know, as it stands now, we were thinking, okay, teams are probably going to double and triple team the guy and create one-on-one opportunities for the rest of the defense to try and beat. But, you know, you take him out of the equation. And, you know, just to be clear, folks, we don't know that Olivier Vernon is out of the equation for week one. He's going to be, I think, a game-time decision, calling it pretty close. It all depends on how he heals. But, you know, you take him out of the equation, and now you say to yourself, okay, now what do they do for a pass rush? And I don't know, Ed. I mean, I know James Betcher has sent a lot of corner blitzes, a lot of safety blitzes and whatnot, but I don't know. I mean, how do you make up for that kind of a loss?
I don't really know either, Patty, because, you know, the issue becomes, all right, if you don't have Olivier Vernon, then there's really no one who, you know, the Jaguars or anyone the Giants would play, there's really no one who would really require a double team. You know, but When you look at, all right, how did the Giants replace Olivier Vernon? I think that's the other thing we have to talk about. I think, you know, one, you know, piece of good news, consolation, you know, if you want to call it that, is that, you know, veteran outside linebacker, you know, an accomplished pass rusher in his own right, you know, Connor Barwin returned to practice this week. I don't know, you know, how healthy he is or how healthy he will be, you know, going into the season. But if he can give them something, especially with Vernon either limited or out, that would be, you know, a very, very big plus. You know, Lorenzo Carter is the other guy. It looks like Carter's getting first team snaps in Vernon's absence. They're going to have to force feed Carter, and we'll see what he can give them. And, you know, for me, the intriguing name that got mentioned this week was Romeo Okwara. And for me, you know, I've been trying to figure out in my own projections, you know, can Romeo Okwara make this team? And I haven't been sure, you know, but maybe if the Giants aren't sure, you know, that Vernon's going to be able to play, maybe, you know, they keep a spot for Okwara because he can give them some pass rush.
You know, that's going to be an interesting decision to make too, because usually when you have a guy who's banged up, they do keep an extra guy on the roster. But with that said, remember, this is a brand new regime here. And, you know, whereas that was the expectation under Jerry Reese and how he did things, Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur might do things a little bit differently. And, you know, it with Vernon, just to clarify on what his injury was, my understanding now, I don't know if this is a matter of semantics or what, but it is a regular ankle sprain that involves a deep bruise high up on the ankle. So they're not really classifying it, according to reports, that is. The Giants haven't commented on it, so I'm just going off of reports here. But it has not been classified as a high ankle sprain. So that is a positive. Now, depending on how quickly that bruise heals, that remains to be seen. But, you know, suffice it to say, we haven't seen Vernon on the field. You know, they're keeping him off his feet as much as possible. There is a chance he could be ready. If he's not ready for week one, I would imagine he'll probably be ready for week two, because then I think that will be about a month and it will take since the injury happened, or close to it. So, you know, your point about Romeo Okwara, I don't know if he necessarily fits in with this defense. I mean, he's come on, you know, the last week or so, but I just don't know if there's a fit for him in this particular defense. And, you know, you mentioned Connor Barwin, And I think what kind of, you know, worried me a little bit about Connor Barwin is, you know, he tweaked a knee. You know, Pat Shurmur came out and he admitted that it was a knee issue. But the other question I had about Barwin, considering that, if I'm not mistaken, he finished last year on injured reserve and you know, wasn't with the team during the spring, is what kind of football shape was he in? And I'm just wondering if, you know, him being on the sideline, you know, is he in good enough football shape to go out there and make a difference?
That's a good question, Patty. I would think that a guy like Barwin, I think he's 32. You know, he'll, even if he's active, you know, against the Jaguars, I would think that he would be the kind of player who would be on, you know, what we might call a pitch count, you know, limited snaps, certain situations. I do happen to agree with you about Romeo Okwara. I mean, I mentioned him because, you know, because Pat Shurmur had some nice things to say about him the other day, but I've had a hard time fitting him onto this defense too. And I think, you know, I think a lot more than what the Giants would like at this point might fall on Lorenzo Carter, but that's how it is.
Yeah, my concern with Lorenzo Carter, you know, I I've seen flashes on the pass rush, which are very encouraging, but the thing that takes top billing is you have to stop the run. And watching Carter against the run, I really believe that he needs to add a little bit more strength, especially on the upper body, because there have been times when he just gets swallowed up in the wash, doesn't get off his blocks, and you know, a play will sneak into that second level. So I just, you know, I'm sure they're going to force feed him, like you said, try to, you know, expedite getting him ready. But, you know, I think there's only so much they're going to be able to do with him at this point, you know, absent him suddenly developing, you know, Popeye-like muscles.
Yeah, and let's just cross our fingers and hope that, you know, that Olivier Vernon is able to play. I think the Giants, you know, injuries happen. I think the Giants would be happy at this point, you know, that his injury wasn't a fracture or wasn't worse, you know, than it appears to have been. But, you know, when it comes to week one, if he's not there or if he's limited, then James Betcher's going to have to pull a rabbit out of a hat to find a pass rush.
For sure. As it is, he's struggling, I think, to find a consistent pass rush. So we'll see what he comes up with. We obviously haven't seen the full, you know, throttle, the full playbook yet. You know, he's been keeping things somewhat vanilla. So we'll see what he comes up with. Ed, let's take another quick break. And then when we come back, we will talk about some guy named Odell Beckham Jr.
Who's that?
I don't know. So I have no idea. I've never heard the name before. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. All right, Giant fans, welcome back to Locked On Giants. I'm Patricia Traina with Ed Valentine. And we've been getting you caught up on some of the news items that we unfortunately had to put on the back burner because of some guy by the name of Beckham. Ed, you ever hear of this kid?
Beckham. Geez, you know, Patty, you're going to have to enlighten me.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, a lot of things being said about this guy, but no, seriously, folks. Odell Beckham Jr., coming off the big signing on Monday, signed a record-setting contract for a wide receiver. Today, he spoke to the media for the first time since signing that deal. John Mara spoke to the media after, you know, for the first time after the deal was done. And Ed, I'll, before we kind of break down, you know, what was said, let's play a quick clip. I almost got my tongue tangled there. Let's play a clip from Odell Beckham Jr. talking about, you know, his maturation process, which, of course, was a big, big question mark in this whole negotiation thing.
I mean, since the day we were in L.A. and we met up early in the morning, I drove out there to see him. And just from the minute we sat down and talked, even knowing when we hired him, kind of I had asked, you know, Diggs and those other guys about him. And just the relationship we've been able to build has been, it's been really, you know, amazing for me. It's been really beneficial. know, kind of reminds me of the relationship I had with my high school coach, which is somebody who I still talk to this day. You know, kind of a guy who taught me to, you know, be a man and do these things. So the relationship that we have is very good. I love everything he's done since he's walked in the building, and I'm just, you know, happy to be a part of it.
All right. So, Ed, what do you think? I mean, we've heard the story from Odell before about, you know, him growing up, getting, you know, becoming mature. He talked about that last year. I think he talked about it the year before. I don't know about you, but this year I think he really means it, and I think it's a lot more believable, you know, and he's more sincere about really doing the right thing and being, dare I say, closer to being more held accountable for his actions.
I absolutely agree with that, Patty, and there's really two things to say in regards to that. The first one is what you hit on today in your analysis at Big Blue View, is give Pat Shurmur some credit and give Odell some credit too for being open-minded, because it seems like what Shurmur has been able to do is what Tom Coughlin was unable to do and what Ben McAdoo was unable to do. I think Coughlin, just because he was a little bit older and toward the end and a little bit frustrated by some of the losing, wasn't really able to forge the kind of relationship with Odell that needed to be there. And when it came to Ben McAdoo, I honestly think that, you know, Ben couldn't really see past his nose, because what was stuck in front of his nose was a dinner menu sized play card. He couldn't see past that to figure out how to build relationships with players. I just think that Shurmur has gone out of his way to build a relationship with Odell. You can hear in Odell's voice, and you can see in some of the things that he says, that he has respect for Shurmur, that he's willing to work with Shurmur. And I think that makes a huge, huge difference. And the other thing that I wanted to mention, I wrote today at Big Blue View that the $90 or $95 million, you know, whatever the exact number comes out to be, carries with it some responsibility. It carries with it the responsibility to be a leader, to represent the franchise properly, you know, to not allow some of the distractions that have happened in the past to happen again. And the thing that I want to mention about that is, I don't want people to misunderstand me. I do think that Beckham has grown. I don't think we're going to see those kinds of distractions, you know, at least to the level that we've seen them in the past. But I think that the question still has to be asked. It's, you know, can what we've seen over the past 5 or 6 months, can that continue? Will that continue? Because it really needs to.
Right. And, you know, when you get into a game situation, you know, things happen. You know, sometimes you lose your cool. Sometimes something unexpected happens. And, you know, Shurmur spoke about the importance of, you know, playing with passion, but at the same time not doing anything that's going to embarrass, you know, not just the player, but the team as well. And you know what was pretty cool? And Shurmur, actually, you know what, Ed, we'll play this clip, but what was pretty cool is that Shurmur talked about, hey, I was a player too, so I kind of understand it. And I'm going to – let's pause for a second to play that clip, and then we'll come back and we'll dissect it a little bit more.
We all need to – control our bodies and our minds, and I think that's, you know, we talk about that with the players constantly, making sure that they keep their composure. And, you know, there's a real fine line between being competitive and then crossing that line. So he's no different than any other player, and we all wrestle with it as competitors. When I was a player, I was involved in a fight or two myself, so I understand mentally how that plays out.
Okay. Good clip there from Pat Shurmur, and one that I think is very important and very underrated, because, you know, again, I think one of the issues is that, you know, I can't remember if Ben McAdoo played football. He might have played it at the high school level. I don't remember if he played it at the college level or not, but, you know, Shurmur, I believe, was a college center. I don't know if he ever made it to the pro level. I don't think he did, but, you know, Shermer kind of relates, I think, more to those players because he's like, hey, I've been there. I remember my roots. And as a result of that, he's able to say, to see and put himself in the shoes of the players and say, hey, I know things get a little heated out there. And he admitted, he said, look, I got into a few scuffles in my day as well. So I think that's very important and a very underrated element of this whole thing because Shermer, you know, like I said, he's hanging on to his roots and he's using that to relate to the players rather than, you know, just scold them for naughty behavior.
I just have to come back to saying you just have to give Shermer, you know, a ton of credit, you know, for trying to learn about these players, for reaching out, building relationships, for trying to relate to these guys, you know, for making it seem, you know, for having more of a relationship with them than I'm the coach. I tell you what to do. You do it. And I don't want to hear about it. I think Janoris Jenkins said it the other day. He likes it. He appreciates it. You know, Shermer will sit down in the lunchroom with guys. I mean, it goes beyond, you know, building a relationship with Odell Beckham. It's building a relationship with all of the guys in the locker room. And I think they appreciate it, you know, when they see him as more than just, you know, that guy over there who calls the plays and makes the schedule.
And that's so important. You raise a good point there. You know, it's the old united we stand, divided we fall. And we saw that with McAdoo last year. You know, he talked about team, but yet he always was buried behind that menu play card that he had. You listen to the players and they, you know, I don't think I ever heard any of the players say that they saw McAdoo in the lunchroom, you know, he didn't come and sit with them. I know a couple players told me last year that they rarely saw him come through the locker room during the week. So, look, if you want guys to run through walls for you, you've got to show them that you understand. You've got to show them that you're there for them, that you're willing to support them and just relate to them. And, you know, in the case of Beckham, granted it was a convenience because, you know, Shermer was out on the West Coast doing a pre-draft scouting visit anyway, but, you know, he didn't have to stop off in Los Angeles and make a detour. He could have said, you know what, I'm going home and I'll just continue to build this over the phone. And, you know, kudos to him because some guys, you know, I'm sure Shermer did not go flying all over the country to build relationships with every single player on that roster. But knowing that, you know, Odell was a key player, a guy who, you know, had some, I don't want to say issues, that's probably not the right word, but, you know, who he was down, you know, he had the injury, you know, who knew if he was going to come back, who knew what was going to happen with his contract. And I just think Shermer going and making that extra step to meet with him on Odell's environment, in his environment, get to know him, you know, talk about music, you know, go have a bite to eat and whatever else they talked about. Just a really, really, you know, brilliant move on Shermer's part.
Absolutely, Patty. You know, it just, you know, coaching a football team, coaching anything goes so far beyond just the X's and O's and building the game plan. And, you know, I was just thinking that so far, you know, we obviously haven't gotten to a game that counts, but so far for me, you know, it goes beyond Beckham, goes beyond maybe the type of offense that he's built or whatever. But so far for me, I'm just very, very impressed with Pat Shermer. It feels like he's pushed a lot of the right buttons. He's doing a lot of the right things. We've both talked about how much we love the way he's conducted, you know, training camp and the preseason practices. Even the way, you know, that he conducted the OTA practices, it felt like football the whole time, even though guys were in shorts. It's been very positive so far. It's been very good, you know, but who knows whether it leads to wins on Sundays once the regular season starts.
Very good point. You know, right now everybody's in the honeymoon stage, but, you know, until the games start counting and we see how well prepared they are, you know, are they able to make it through, you know, the four quarters without looking gassed? You know, a lot of unanswered questions, but certainly I think Pat Shurmur and his staff have done everything possible to make sure that this team gets off to a fast start. And I think that's a very positive development.
I just feel so much better. And I don't know if this team is more talented or less talented or equally as talented, maybe as the roster that the Giants put together a year ago. I mean, it's different in a lot of ways. And we'll see how all of that plays out. We'll see if they wind up healthier. But, you know, even, you know, the Odell Beckham deal getting done before the season started and the way that that everything has come down so far for the Giants, I feel much better about this team's preparedness to open a season, you know, than I have for quite a while.
I do too, Ed. And on that note, We didn't get to talking about the preseason finale. We're going to probably save that show for another time. We'll try and get that in on Wednesday, but we will call it a show for tonight. Giant fans, as always, we appreciate you listening, and we will be back again with you soon. Take care.